St. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed this thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. I want to focus upon verse number 12, where this Pharisee, you might say, speaks of his routine. Yeah. He's talking about his routines.
Yeah.
I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Our thought this morning will be the negative effects of routine. Many of us, most of us, no doubt, this morning we followed a simple routine that we go through every morning. Probably got up, got dressed, may have washed your face. You may have went to the kitchen and turned the coffee pot on. You may have went to the refrigerator, got a glass of water. You may have went, got the eggs ready to start that breakfast. Something that you do every morning. Then through the course of the day, though you have different responsibilities and all, there's some things you do every day of your life. And you maybe never realize it, but you're in a routine. Seems like as we get older, it's harder to break us out of our routines. In the midst of the natural things, drinking coffee, opening the blinds on the windows, all these things, there's also spiritual things that we do. I trust that we do every day. We go and pick up our Bible for our morning Bible reading. We find a quiet place, a reserved place, and we begin to pray and seek the Lord. It's something we do every day. It's something that is a routine. Routines are good. Routines are, you might say, necessary, because some things must be done. And if you don't form a routine of doing it, then you might get distracted from doing it. But if you've got that routine of doing it, then you're pretty much going to see that it's done. Routine is any regular habit or practice not accommodated to circumstances. In other words, you don't have to have a circumstance to cause you to do that.
Yeah.
But routine that is absent of devotion. Routine that is absent of commitment. Routines such as we find in the Pharisees here that Jesus is talking about, these men are endeavoring to do what we call self-justification. justification. Right. They spoke not of a relationship with God. Right. They spoke not of a commitment to God. No. They spoke not of a common glory of the Spirit of God flowing in their lives. But they stood on that street corner and they spoke of a routine that they followed every week. I fast twice in the week. Every weekend or whatever after they got their paycheck, they pay tithes of all that comes in. I want to believe that in the midst of this fasting, these Pharisees had somewhat of a prayer life as well, where they would say prayers, where they would go through the motion of praying. But in the midst of that routine, how much commitment is there? How much devotion is there? We come to church. We sing the songs. And God have mercy this morning. How many times we sing the songs. The brother said, I feel the presence of the Lord. But how many of the rest of us reach into the wealth of God's goodness this morning while we sung songs that no doubt you sang them over and over and over again until you begin to be in a routine of it. Maybe not every Sunday, but maybe every 3 or 4 weeks you remember as you're singing those songs. I recall singing them at Silver Creek. I recall seeing Brother Michael Edwards leading songs, but as we sing those, do we reach, as I said, into the well of God's goodness and into the well of God's grace and receive what's flowing from God that's in that? Are we going just simply through a routine? I've come to church, I've sat on my pew, I've paid my tithes, I've stood while we prayed, I've been the preacher, but sincere devotion is put in to that routine. Because if it's not there, it's a negative effect going to take place. Until lo and behold, after a while, you begin to think that you are justified. These Pharisees thought they were justified. They thought they were all right because they had come to that point. Well, I do all that I need to do. I do all that's supposed to be done to present myself as a Christian. To present myself as a believer. The wise man said in Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. And when you tell a man he might not be clean, that thinks he's clean in his own eyes, you don't make a lot of friends. You don't get a lot of amens. You don't get a lot of attaboys. They're clean in their own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. I pray the Lord this morning, in loving compassion, will ponder my heart and your heart. I speak to Dennis Morgan as I speak to you. The wise man said in another place, every way of man is right in his own eyes. Now the first one was, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. This time he said, but the Lord pondered the hearts. Right. Again, the wise man in Proverbs said, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. I don't have to spend time this morning talking about legislation and laws and things that are going on in our government where men are right in their own eyes. Where a generation today that we're looking at are doing things and they're saying we're all right. saying, we're justified. Listen to him. He said, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. What happened to a nation that was birthed on the principles of God's Word? What happened to us as a nation when we've done all the right things? We've kept the churches open. We've kept the prayer meetings going. We've kept the choir singing. But things spiritually as a nation tend to keep going downhill. How much has been done out of a routine that had no heart in it? I simply want to call the child of God this morning to put your heart into your routine. Put your heart into your Bible reading. Put your heart into your praying. Put your heart into your singing. Put your heart into playing the instruments. Put your heart into whatever you do for the kingdom of God. Let's put our heart into it, lest we begin to feel a personal act of justification going on inside of us. The negative results of that is we'll feel justified. We'll slip into small sins and never feel conviction. We'll slip into greater sins and never feel conviction. We'll slip into horrendous sins and continue on that path of destruction of justifying ourselves. The negative results that's possible through simple routine. I've got to know, Brother Chris, that when I have a routine, when I'm at home, when I'm traveling, it gets a little sidetracked. But I make it work. I said I make it work at home. Our bedroom's toward the back. I pull out of there early and go to the living room where I got plenty of space, me and the Lord. And my routine, I pray. When I'm done praying, my routine is I open the blinds. I go get something for breakfast if I'm meeting that morning, which is nothing. You sit down at the table with you, something in a little cup. Some of that healthy eating.
All right,
Sit down with my Bible and start reading the Word. Routine. Get done with that. I go check on the wife, see if she's up and about. And then I tell her I'm going to do my walking. My healthy walking. But the routine is, I don't bother to plug something up in my ear to listen to music while I'm walking. And I don't bother to answer my phone while I'm walking. While I'm doing that help walk, I'm continuing on with my conversation with the Lord. I realize just as sure as that routine is real in my life, if I'm not careful, that praying can just be talking toward the carpet. That praying can just be talking toward the ceiling without any heart, without any commitment. It's a pressing hour that we're living in. I think some of you got a little age on, you'll understand, and you'll amen what I'm saying. We're in a pressing hour. It takes some effort. It takes some pressing to get through to heaven, to know that I'm not just saying words, to know that I'm not just speaking to myself, but to know that the door of the room of grace has opened up and I've stepped into the presence of Almighty God. And I'm not just going through a ritual, I'm not just going through a routine, but I'm talking to God.
Glory to God.
If I let that routine become just a routine and not a devotion, I'll have to create some tears after a while to get a little spiritual when I go to church. I have to create some unk in me to want to worship God when I get to church. I have to make myself try to praise the Lord when everybody around me is praising the Lord. But if I've come through that routine by the grace of God, with every bit of my heart inside it, when I get to God's house, I might have plugs in my ears and can't hear the preacher say, raise your hands and praise the Lord. It won't make any difference. They're going up. I'm praising Him because I'm in communion with Him. I'm in contact with Him. Hallelujah. It's dangerous to fall into a routine and just simply be there and begin to justify yourself. Jesus told the church in the book of Revelation, He said, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not. You say you're rich. You say you need nothing, but you don't know that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. We fast twice in the week, but it's of no avail. It's just simply a routine. I pay tithes of all that I have. It's just a routine. Just simply a routine. I know it may not make a lot of difference, but it caught my eye somewhere a long time ago. As the usher went by receiving the offering somewhere I was at. And the fellow pulled out his, it could have been that Church of God dollar. Do y'all have them in the Congregational Holiness? In other words, 40 years ago it was a dollar. 30 years ago it was a dollar. 5 days ago it was a dollar. But I noticed as the plate come by, he just kind of threw it in there like a man throwing a tip down on the table where he just got through eating. It caught my attention. Well, Lord, is that giving unto the Lord? If it's all he has, it's fine. If it's just a dollar, if it's a quarter.
Yeah.
But just pitch it in there. What about putting our heart with it? Oh, God. Thank you. I'm able to give.
All right.
Now, are you advocating that we hear a little buzz throughout the congregation when you receive the offering and everybody hear the Lord? Thank you. I'm talking about a heart.
Yeah.
You see, it's a routine.
Yeah.
A routine to where we don't pray about what we give. We just routinely give. We
talk
of us. How often before we leave the house, this really got a hold of me. One time, I pray about before I ever leave the house. When we're going to get to church, what am I going to give unto the Lord?
All right.
Show up to church and hadn't even brought your pocketbook. All of this is about routines. Routine born of the heart creates self-justification that is a void. It's not real. You cannot justify yourself. Only justification we find is through Jesus Christ. Through God. I cannot justify myself in the kingdom of God. And so, after that's done, we realize that the effects, the negative effects of routine, it creates a false security.
Yeah.
False security.
All right.
Meaning, I think everything's all right, but it's false. In the book of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord said, behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense under Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not? He said to these Israelites, you're going after all of these other gods. You're going after all the things of the world. You're going after all the things that are negative and anti-God. But yet you come and you stand before me in this house, which is called by my name. In other words, he said, you come, you stand in the house of God, and you you say we are delivered to do all these abominations, I'm alright, I'm okay in what I do out there. I'm alright, I'm okay with how I live out there. You come into God's house, you stand, you justify yourself, you feel secure in that. But He's saying it's a false security. God's saying you're not alright. You've come to the house of God in a form, in a routine, and it's dangerous. The negative effects we'll see as we look at the text a little closer here, but it also creates an empty hearing, an empty reception, an empty hearing. My wife said to me, I know she did because she told me she did. How much I remember of it, she can tell you that too. But she said, before you take that main suitcase out and put it in the van, wait till I put my house coat in it. She said she told me 3 times. I'm anxious to get the thing loaded up. So I load it up. And as I'm returning toward the door, she meets me at the door. I told you 3 times that she's got it in her hand. I said, hand it to me. I heard her, but I did not receive what she said.
All right.
I had my mind somewhere else.
All right.
I was going through a routine of loading the vehicle. If you travel like we do, you've got to have a routine.
Yeah.
Or you'll be in total chaos before you leave town. And then in total chaos again when you get home. But we got a routine. We might get home at 1 o'clock in the morning, but everything's put up before we lay down.
Yeah.
That's weird, preacher. It ain't weird when you wake up the next morning and you ain't worried about putting everything away. It's done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Routine. But if that routine gets broke because of an emergency, we'll survive.
Yeah.
But if my routine in God is done without heart and it gets broke, then what am I going to do? Because I have not a heart set on calling on Him. I have not a heart set on studying His Word. If that routine is broken and I did not have heart in it, if I got heart in it, my routine might be broken 1 o'clock in the morning when you just throw 4 or 5 hours. You don't feel like reading your nighttime devotion. That routine is broken. But my heart says, let me hear something from Him before I go to bed.
Amen. All right.
But if it was just a routine, empty, I said it'd be all right. God understands. He don't understand near as much as we accuse Him of. Not that God is without understanding. In other words, He's not excusing as much as we think He is.
All right. Come on, Brother Moore.
You come. They sit before me. And they come on, Ezekiel 33, 31, 32, and they come unto thee as the people come. God told Ezekiel, He said, they come. They sit before thee as my people. They come in that routine. And they hear thy words. But they will not do them. Pastor, have you ever preached around this place and come to find out somebody didn't do what you preached? Is it all right to say amen?
All right.
Don't be scared, preacher, have you? We're living in the real world. Might as well admit it.
All right,
yeah. You preach to folks and bore your heart out to them, and they walked out of this house like a martin headed toward a guard. Didn't no longer pay a teaching after they left the house than anything.
Yeah.
Right. Routine was good. They were there. That smiling face was in the house of God.
Yeah.
That nod was going when you're preaching. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did not do. Ezekiel, he said, look, they're coming. They're sitting before you. They hear what you say, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song, one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do not just that preacher's preaching is just a beautiful song. I enjoyed the message, Pastor. Nobody's ever come through here and preached that like you did. Oh, Pastor, your eloquence was far beyond my fondest imagination. But did you get it? Did you get it? Jesus said, two men stood on the street corner. He's speaking to those which trust in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. The Pharisee stood and prayed, I thank you I'm not like him. I'm in the church. I'm going to church. I'm doing all the right things. I'm not no extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not no adulterer. No, not like them. I fast twice in the week. I pay tithes of everything. Standing afar off, the publican smokes his chest, pleads God to have mercy. That publican beats his chest, smokes upon his breast, chest saying, be merciful to me. He's putting his heart into this. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Rather than the one that just simply went through a routine because it's what he was used to doing. But he placed no heart, no commitment, no devotion inside of that he was doing. The negative effects of routine is you won't be justified in the presence of God Almighty. Would you stand?
Sister Morgan, could you come?
Brother Chris, my most anxious interest in preaching the gospel is to be sensitive to his spirit.
Right.
A lady called me about a message I'd preached one time on the evil spirit of Halloween. She wanted a CD of it. This was way back 2006, I think it was. And I was talking to the sister and the Lord, and she's talking about the truth that was in that the Lord had brought to our attention and gave us direction to put together the thoughts and the research. And I said, I'm in revival this week, and of course Tuesday night's Halloween, and I feel like maybe the Lord wants me to preach that here. But I'm concerned because it don't seem to be what you'd call a revival message. She said something to me, Brother Chris, that is still ringing somewhat in my mind. She said, Brother Morgan, truth brings revival.
All right.
So, whether we think it fits or not, truth, when it's received, brings revival. Not talking about a protracted meeting. And y'all have had some good ones. Great evangelists come through, but I'm talking about revival. That when the evangelist is a long way off, God's presence is very near. And He's moving. And the tears are flowing because they simply cannot be withheld. They're not created because you want to make something happen. They're not coming because you routinely feel like that's what needs to be next. Is a few tears. But it's happening from the bottom of your heart. While Sister Morgan plays, I want to invite everyone that's able in this house this morning to come around this altar. And I'm not talking about turning the coffee pot on, opening open the blinds. Those type of things, but I'm talking about spiritual matters. When I ask you to come, I say, Lord, give me commitment and devotion in the midst of my routine concerning spiritual matters. Would you come?